Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Casper. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/ghost stories. Terms and conditions apply.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also share them through the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can also email in your audio file if you want to record it on your smart device. And you can just email it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways of getting those stories to us. Of course, you can interact with us on social media, Real Ghost Stories Online, and Facebook, Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat is at Ghost Podcast. So lots of ways right there to chit-chat wherever it may be. So, there you go. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I went swimming.
Yeah, you did. And it's kind of cold.
Well, it's in the 70s.
It's too cold for me.
It's one of those days where the temperature... This morning when we were looking at... we walked over by the pool area. It said it was 68, but felt like 78 because it really felt more like 70s. It really didn't feel like 60s. So I have no idea what it was. And we just went, I'm going to check the temperature. I got in up to my chest and that was about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah! And I made some really loud noises. And Harper's like, "Why are you screaming like a girl, Daddy?" And there you go. Mm-hmm. And she's just diving in back and forth. No big deal. 73.
That's still too cold for me.
So I think the rule in Wisconsin was like anything above 60 was swimmable.
Yeah.
Even in like lakes. So God knows what the temperature was in the lakes.
It's got to be like 85 for me to want to swim.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the water temperature was about like 75. So, which is weird because I think about that. And I think like, well, when it's 75 outside, it feels certain. But then when you're in water, it feels very different. It's like a very different 75 from the air temperature to water temperature.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I would just think, oh, 75, that's comfortable and warm. And if the water temperature would match that, shouldn't it? If that's what they say the water temperature is, or is it because it's penetrating your skin a heck of a lot more than just the atmosphere?
I don't know. I don't know.
The weight of it?
It's like it works both ways, because when the water, you know, mm-hmm. is hot, you know, 100 yeah. degree water is pretty hot, but I can stand
yeah.
100 degree temperatures outside.
I don't get it. I don't get how that, it doesn't seem like an equal temperature.
No.
Equation there. It's probably something that's going to be like, oh, here's the obvious answer, Brewskis.
Yeah.
And someone will email it to us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Emily from Minnesota again. I had called yesterday and left a bit of a creepy story for you. Today, I want to tell you a little bit about one of the more recent events in my life, a little bit of a backstory. My grandparents lived on a farm since before all of us grandkids are born. I'm kind of in the middle of the age range. And so we all grew up there and absolutely loved the farm. They retired off of it, however, when I was in about eighth grade and moved into a small town that was nearby. And by small town, I mean like 250 people. That's the area I'm from. And so we were all kind of upset about it, but obviously understood that they couldn't live there forever. It was too much upkeep for them, but they were pretty young still. So they were able to, you know, keep going with their lives about the same as they were without farming. My grandma came down with Alzheimer's about 6 years ago now. We started noticing the symptoms. And, you know, my grandpa kind of just became her caretaker because he pretty much didn't want to admit that that she was fighting that disease. So he was kind of in denial, and it really took a toll on him as she was getting worse and worse. And in October of 2016, he had an unexpected, very unexpected, massive heart attack and passed away instantly. They were out pheasant hunting, and he pulled off the side of the road and reached out for my grandma's hand and kind of moaned, she said, and then he slumped over and he was gone. My grandpa was a very big man, so she couldn't do anything. And she had this leg down a passing by car. Luckily, it was somebody that we actually, our family knows. But the weird part is he was right by their old farm. And we think that he was going home, as we would call it. Fast forward a couple weeks, and my grandma was really struggling. They were going to be 75, I believe, and they had been together since high school. And my grandma kind of broke, and her Alzheimer's really progressed quickly, and she ended up in a care facility for dehydration and whatnot, and ended up declining to her death on New Year's Day, very early in the morning. So here's where it gets kind of weird. The night after my grandpa passed away, I had a dream about him. Not so weird, other than the fact that we used to always say, "Hi, Gramps, how you doing?" And he would say, "Oh, not worth a damn." And in my dream, I knew that he wasn't supposed to be there because I could see we were in their house in town, and I could see my dad and my uncle sitting on the steps behind him making the phone calls to the family that he had passed, which is what had happened the night before. And when I asked him, you know, "Hi, Gramps, how you doing?" He said, "I really wish I could tell you I was okay, but I just can't do that." And I kind of looked at him and I said, "What do you mean?" And he just hung his head, shook it, and walked out. And when he got to the doorway to the living room, he disappeared. I had a few more dreams about him, not really anything like that, just really random snippets throughout the next couple months before my grandma passed. And now, ever since my grandma passed, I've been having dreams mostly of him, some of her, and I always know that they're dead. But we are always, always back at the farm cleaning out their house as if they had just died. And sometimes they start out alive and are, you know, talking and whatnot. But I know that something's off and I know that it's weird, but I still don't say anything. And then all of a sudden they'll transfer over to being ghosts. And I'm like, oh, there it is. I knew that they weren't alive. But I'm never terrified, but I am always pretty scared. And The most recent one I had was just like 2 days ago, and I was sitting in front of my grandpa's old rocking chair in the farmhouse, like always, and he kind of faded into view as his chair started rocking, and I reached out for his hand, and I just couldn't grab it. And he talked to me briefly, asked me to come outside with him, and then he disappeared. Another dream I had was him and my grandma sitting on the couch with me, and we were at a birthday party. I'll just add in, it was right around the time of my kids' birthday party, because we do a joint one. They're very close. And I was really upset that my grandparents were missing that for the first time. We were very, very, very close with them. So it's been a hard past couple months going through these holidays for the first time without them. But we were at this birthday party sitting on the couch and talking, and all of a sudden they both slumped over right on top of me, two big people, and all of a sudden we were at their funerals, and it just petrified me. And I don't know why we're always at their farmhouse in these, and I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what do you guys think? Do you think that they're simply visiting me and there's some reason why they're always dead, or do you think that they're stuck at the farmhouse and aren't able to move on? I mean, my grandpa passed right by the house, and my grandma was not anywhere near our home. So just kind of looking for some of your insight on that and kind of what you think that maybe they're visiting or not or whatever. Yeah, that's about it for today. I do have a few more historical phone calls and write-ins in the last, like, 2 weeks since I found you guys, so I'm going to hold off on those for quite a while here. But I really hope to hear this with some of your guys' insight. I would love, love, love to hear what you guys have to say, because I'm lost, and maybe it's just because I miss them so much, but I don't know. It'd be nice to hear from someone else. I will talk to you guys later, and I love your podcast. Please, please, please keep doing what you're doing. You guys are awesome. Bye.
Well, they certainly are bizarre dreams.
They are.
But do they hold any evidence of being paranormal besides being bizarre? Jenny, your thoughts?
I don't know. What I was thinking about the dreams were that maybe they're trying to tell her they're back where they belong, that they're at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean go knock on whoever lives there now. Mm-hmm. Go knock on their door and say, hey, are you haunted by these two people?
Sure.
I wouldn't do that. But maybe they're trying to let you know that they're back at peace where they wanted to be.
Together.
It sounded like maybe, you know, necessity was to sell the farm and move to something more manageable. But I don't know that that was, you know, necessarily what they wanted to do.
I could see that. It's just difficult to know either way without more evidence of things in the world.
Right.
Outside of dreams. Thank you for the story. Appreciate that. Now, dreams can just be, they can be tricky things sometimes to know if it correlates into the living and reality or not, just depending on exactly what's going on. But here's something that was not tricky, pretty straightforward these days, and that's reviews of a product or service or mattress.
Yeah.
4.8 stars. The Casper mattress. You can't BS people anymore with stuff.
No.
Because it's people talk, people share, and people are all too ready to share, bad or good. And when a product or anything has 4.8 stars out of 5, that's a pretty darn good product. And the Casper mattress is just that. Obsessively engineered for a shockingly fair price. And that's why you get reviews like that. It's a fair price. It's a super quality product. And that seems to be like, it's like a simple concept, but so few ever make it there.
Yeah.
So Casper Mattress, they're the supporters of the show today. You want to check these guys out. We've had ours for quite some time now and absolutely love it. And, you know, I think we've had like, how many mattresses have we had in the last 10 years?
At least three besides this one.
Yeah. And this is like, I think the only one we've ever had that we went, yeah, I think we should try and keep this one for like ever.
Yeah.
Or as long as we can physically have it. It's just a great mattress. Combines supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Over 20,000 reviews, like I said, on this. 4.8 stars. It is quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress, and that's based on reviews on Amazon and Google reviews. Plus, free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. You can even try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. So you don't have to worry about the high-pressure mattress store, like, oh, you could return it after 3 nights if you're not quite happy. And then you're the one who has to, like, take it back and crap like that.
Right.
No, they do it for you. If you don't love it, I mean, 100 nights, you'll know by, like, night two. You know, if this is for you. And obviously, most people do feel that way. It's designed, developed, and assembled here in the USA. Check it out for yourself. Just go to Casper.com and use our promo code Ghost Stories. Casper.com/Ghost Stories and use our promo code Ghost Stories. And right now, pretty good offer here. When you go to Casper.com/ghost stories, get $50 towards any mattress purchase. Casper.com/ghost stories and take advantage of that promo code and save yourself $50 and you will love this mattress. Terms and conditions apply. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost story with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Allie from Philadelphia. I called yesterday and then it cut me off, so I'm calling again because I wanted to tell you my whole story. I recently moved to Phoenix and my parents, Phoenix, Arizona, and my parents were visiting, and this just happened like 2 weeks ago. And we decided one day while I was off to go to Tombstone, Arizona. So it's south, about, I believe, like an hour from the Mexico border, so it's like really southern Arizona. And it's an old western town back from like mid-1800s, late-1800s. And one of like the, I think it's one of the most like preserved historic western, you know, like still dirt streets, still the same buildings, you know, buildings with gun holes and bullet holes in it and everything like that. So it's really, really cool town to visit. So I didn't know too much about it before going, but it was something that me and my parents were just like, yeah, let's take a day trip. So we went down there, and it was just a really cool town to walk around, and then we came to the Birdcage Theater. So again, I didn't really do much research of the town before going, but I definitely consider myself a very sensitive person as far as, like, emotions and, like, vibes go, whether even if it's, like, living, like, with, like, living individuals or things that may be more considered, like, paranormal. I think I'm very sensitive just to, like, energies like that. So we go into the Birdcage Theater. At the time, I didn't know it was a was probably one of the most haunted places in America. I just know that a lot of places, a lot of like paranormal investigators, like ghost hunters and ghost adventurers, and they had a whole list of people that had come there and investigated and found stuff, and it was definitely seen as a very active spot. So I didn't know this going into it. I didn't find that out until after walking through. So as soon as you walk in, I was just speechless. It's still, there's this pictures of like different women that perform there, and at that time there was a lot of gambling, a lot of prostitution, a lot of just drinking. You know, people were there mining silver, and then there was not a lot of law going on, so they were like, the Birdcage Theater is kind of like the hub of a lot of gambling and shows and things like that. So and a lot of, like, gunfights, and a lot of people died there, too. So walking in, just felt like 50 people were just there, like, this is our place, watching you. Like, instantly just felt, like I said, speechless. I walked in, and I was just looking at everything and taking in the emotions and the feelings that I was having there. Nothing bad, just, like, very just bold is the word I can use to describe it. So at one point, you walk down these stairs, and you can go like under, you can go behind the like stage, and then you can go underneath the stage where there was like bedrooms and like changing rooms and like where the liquor was held, and there was like there's a poker table that's still set up, and everything's like really, really authentic. So I'm
down there and I'm like just getting a lot of very strong feelings, and I'm looking into one of the rooms, the one of the bedrooms. So they have it like you can look in, and it's like half a doorway, so you can't go in, but you can look into the room. And as I'm looking in, it's hard to explain, but I don't want to describe it as a breeze, but it was more just like a bubble of cold air, like engulfed like the front of like my shoulders and my face. And like I said, it wasn't like a breeze, like it was almost just like came onto me. And instantly, like, I looked up for a draft or like a vent, and I looked into the room, and there's like no vents in there, no fans, nothing. And it was just a very distinct feeling. And at that time, I also felt somebody, the best way to describe it is like if somebody was next to me and with their left hand touched like the underneath part of like my upper arm, and with their right hand at the same time grabbed, like very gently grabbed my right hand to almost like guide me over to them, like, oh, come over here. And I instantly like looked over, like my hand raised and everything, but it was very gentle, and thinking my parents were next to me, and there's no one there. There's one other person in the room, and they were like across the room looking at their own things. So that was definitely like, I was just very speechless the whole entire time. So there's lots of women, like pictures of women, and you just felt like the presence was so strong there. But again, like just people were constantly just watching you walk through. And at the end, so now I'm at the end, there's like a gift shop, and that's where I realized like, oh, Ghost Adventures had been here. Oh, like there's ghost tours here. And the one woman that was working there, she was like telling me and my parents, like she does tours, and there hasn't been one night that she hasn't had something happen, whether it's voices or she said like her earrings even went horizontal. She was wearing dangly earrings, and she was talking to someone and they went horizontal, like someone had been playing with them. So constant activity. And then of course I looked up like the Ghost Adventures episode, and they had a lot of things happen, and just definitely a really cool place to check out, research if you want to learn more about it. But I told the woman, I was like, is that common to feel that in front of one of the rooms, like where a lot of like the prostitution happened and just like a lot of partying happened? And she said, yep, that's, if you felt that, you definitely had a visitor, you know, somebody tried to communicate with you. So it was, I was just kind of like in shock most of the time, just because it was such a strong, bold energy there. And I almost like didn't tell the woman what I felt, because I was just like still processing it, but it was really cool. So if you get the chance, definitely check out the Birdcage Theater in Tombstone, Arizona. And just the town in general is really awesome. So thank you guys for listening to my story. I hope to hear it on the air. And I really appreciate your podcast. Love it. I listen to it every day when I'm walking my dog. Makes me feel safe when I'm walking my dog around my complex. So thank you. And I hope you guys have a great day.
As much as I would like to visit Tombstone, I really don't think I would even step foot in the Birdcage, just because its reputation is far and wide as being so haunted. And it's not good energy at all.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Well, I have a paranormal kick me sign on my back, and mm-hmm. I just don't really want to go purposely in there.
Almost literally. I mean, you've been pushed by ghosts.
Yeah.
It could have been a kick that just was weak.
Yeah, it could have been. So.
I understand. Thank you for the story and sharing the experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online if you want to share your experience with us. Of course, if you like this program, help us stay on the air, become an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com and get all of those bonus episodes of the program. Cannot go wrong with that. Just get freaked out all for like 140 some episodes. Like it will take several days to get through them if you binged on them. Probably more than a week.
Yeah.
Just nonstop listening. So good luck. Don't eat. Don't drink. Just listen. And you'd probably perish, because that's how many episodes we have if you attempted that. Let's go to our next story. Hi.
Hey, Kelly and Jenny. This is take two of my story. I had to cut it short last time. Anyways, hopefully I can get through it this time.
So my name is Gary, and I am from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I like to tell when I tell people the story, I like to say it's my dream with a murderer. So I am obsessed with ghosts. I used to think that I never had had a paranormal experience before, but as I've been listening to your show, I gradually realized that I have had paranormal experiences. I just never considered them experiences because I didn't see an apparition or a shadow figure. It had been touched by an entity until recently. So I am a psychic and a medium. I've been clairvoyant and clairaudient my whole life, which means that I experienced psychic events visually and audibly, but the mediumship didn't develop until I was 30. Basically, I just started meditating more and more, and then eventually one night, all my loved ones who had been deceased came through, and the resounding message was, "We're so glad you can finally hear us." So my story starts with a friend of mine mentioning that her house was haunted. She said that she would hear people in the kitchen when no one was in the kitchen. She would go into rooms and see things moving slightly on their own, and once her and her roommate saw an orb. Like, they saw an orb come through their house and out into the backyard. So I just started to offer my gifts to others, and since I love ghosts, I was very excited to go to her house on a ghost hunt. The information I knew about her house was that it was located in the central part of Sioux Falls and then moved to the outside part of Sioux Falls. And I also knew that her dad had passed away in her home a few years ago. The activity had been happening prior to his passing, but seemed to be getting more active after his passing. My gut instinct is that her dad stuck around and there was another entity in the home as well. We agreed on a date and a time for me to come over and do the reading on the house and to do some audio recording as well. I'm very good at doing distance sessions versus doing a session in person. And I can explain at another time kind of like the ins and outs of that, but since I was to go to her house on a Wednesday night, I decided to do a distance session on Sunday night prior to just to prepare myself for what was really residing in the house. So Sunday night, I'm in the shower, which is where I get some of my best thinking done. I conducted my distance session. The first thing that happened to me was I immediately got a rush of cold air at my chest while a voice said to me in a deep whisper, "I'm not leaving." And it's important to note that the cold air wasn't because someone opened the door, walked by the shower. The shower we have has doors on it and not a curtain. So the voice tells me they're not leaving, and I'm like, whoa, no one said anything about leaving. I'm just here to check you out and see who you are. So the voice, immediately I got the impression that this is a male spirit in his 50s or 60s and just an overall like a grumpy old man type spirit. I said that I was coming over on a Wednesday, and I needed to know who they were and how I could help. They kept repeating over and over and over that they were not leaving. I wasn't going to kick them out, and that there was nothing I could do about it. So I politely told them that I wasn't here to kick them out, and I promised them. I said, then he kind of relaxed a little bit, and then he gave me a download of information about himself. And when I get a download, I think other people have mentioned this before, but it's basically like all the information comes at you super fast and all at once. Basically, he was a father and a husband. He screwed up a lot in his life. He was embarrassed for all of the things that he did, and because of that, he did not deserve to move on. He said he was staying here because this was his lot in life. He was too embarrassed to face his kids, most specifically his daughter, and there was nothing that I could do to convince him to move on. So I was like, at this point, I'm like, okay, I got it. He feels sorry for himself that he screwed up. I said, come on now. There's nothing that anyone has done that is so bad that it couldn't be forgiven. He assured me that what he did was so fucked up that he deserved to stay here. So he kept repeating the feelings of being ashamed and his daughter not being able to face her. He mentioned nothing about his wife, though, but I knew he was married at one point. My friend's parents were divorced, so I assumed that this was her father, which was a big mistake because you should never assume anything. So I told him I'd be over on Wednesday, and I kind of sent him a visualization of what my recording device looks like and just to speak into the recorder. He was still kind of grumpy about it, about me coming over and continually just like begged me, please don't come over, please, 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 and that he just absolutely wasn't leaving. So, but I ended my session with him with just more questions than answers. So The night before, I have to go to my friend's house. I end up having the absolute craziest dream. I am standing on a dirt road in front of my church, and I'm barefoot. In front of me is a demon-like entity, and I need to exorcise it. I cannot look at this entity, though. My body won't allow me to actually, like, lift my head up and look at this demon head-on. But I'm super terrified, and I needed to work fast. I rush into the church's chapel, where back behind all of the pews, they have a basket of rosaries for the public to take for free. FYI, Catholic Church. I don't know if that matters. Anyways, the beads are all different colors, and I knew I needed a specific color of beads for the exorcism to be successful, white or black. I couldn't remember. And FYI, this most likely isn't a thing, but in my dream, this was significant. I grabbed each color and rushed back out into the front of the church and onto the dirt road again. I stood my ground and realized I couldn't remember the exorcism prayer. So I just did the only thing that I knew that could come to my mind, and I just started screaming, "The power of Christ compels you," over and over and over again, until this demon finally dissipated, and then I woke up, and I was just absolutely terrified. And I knew in that moment someone or something was trying to keep me away from her house. And I should also mention that when I woke up, I just still felt kind of an entity kind of leering over me, just kind of like seething and just breathing heavy. I didn't feel any breath, but like I just had that sense that something was still kind of there, and then eventually that just kind of dissipates. So the next day, I get to my friend's house and I do my session. I asked about her dad. She basically told me that her dad was a sweet guy and totally at peace with his passing, not at all a grumpy dude. So now I'm confused. So I'm like, I explain to her the dream, and her roommate goes, "What if it's Steve?" And I'm like, "Whoa, who's Steve?" And she goes, "That's Steve," and points to an urn. And I'm like, "Whoa, now I'm intrigued." So here's the story. Back in December of 2008, Steve went to visit his wife at work. She wanted him to meet her in her car, which is where she served him with divorce papers. Steve was a pretty angry guy and knew this was coming. So instead of accepting the divorce papers, he ends up shooting her and killing his wife, then committing suicide himself. They had two kids, a boy and a girl. My friends ended up, and now you're like, well, how did your friends end up with the ashes, which is kind of weird. But my friends ended up with his ashes because the sister of one of their parents didn't want his ashes around, because she didn't want to have to explain to the kids who the urn was and who was in there. Sorry, the aunt of the kids. So, like, one of the victim's sisters. I hope that makes sense. Sorry. So instead of having it in her house because it creeped her out and she didn't want it there to explain to the kids, she gave it to my friends. So I stayed at her house, said a prayer. I didn't ask for Steve's spirit to move on since he didn't want that yet, but I asked for all the bad energy to be cleared out and bless the home. And I didn't hear back from my friends as far as if his spirit had moved on or not, but funny thing is that my friend was doing a spot on a radio show like 6 months later, and she actually mentioned me doing the clearing on her house and that she hadn't had any issues ever since. So I haven't had any weird dreams after that either. And then also, if you wanted to look up the crime that was committed, because it's on, you can look it up online. Just look up HSBC, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, murder, suicide, and that kind of gives you an idea of like who it was and what the situation was. That was my dream with the murderer, my first ghost hunt, and my first house cleansing. And thanks for providing a medium for people with paranormal experiences to speak on. It takes a lot of time and dedication to be able to do what you do. And, Jenny, I think it sounds like you kind of do a lot of producing for the show, too. And my husband and I, we're filmmakers, and I do a lot of producing, too, just kind of by proxy because, you know, your husband's obsessed with something, and so you kind of get stuck with things you never thought you were ever going to do. And I think you just do it well, both of you. So, but like I said, I hope you realize how much your work, time, and attention is appreciated by many, many people. And thanks for listening to my story. Bye.
I would like to know more about how she does these remote visits.
Skype?
No, it sounds like there's certain times where she's able to tune in more in different in different situations, but not actually be there.
It's like remote viewing almost, is from what I'm understanding.
And I'm not doubting it. I've just not, that's not a concept I'm familiar with. So I'm just curious on how that works and how much success there is with that.
Yeah. And I'd be curious, how did you discover you could do it? Or how do you, you know, this is something to do that you can do. I'd be curious. Feel free to share with that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online.
I have a question. So if
next caller, I'm sorry, I'm not answering questions right now. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
So if a friend of yours said, hey, will you keep my murdering dad's ashes in your house because I don't want them, what would you say?
I try and figure out some sort of project to use the ashes on, and then, I know
exactly what to use ash for, but not those ashes. Not
what?
Not like a body ash.
Like what? Like the...
You can use it on...
Layered glass of like a beach scene?
No, you can use it on walls to give a effect, but...
Well, that'd be creepy. Who's on there? Herbert?
Yeah.
It's Herbert's wall.
I wouldn't keep anybody's ashes.
I wouldn't. My answer would be no. I was trying to come up with something smart-ass. It wasn't because I was really contemplating. It was more just like, what smart-ass thing could I do with the ashes?
You were too distracted by trying to be a smart-ass for something to just naturally pop out.
It really was. It was one of those moments. I was like just thinking, you know, those glass vases. Everybody used to have like sand in them, like layered sand in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, if you could have like layered ashes in it and then have a little like beach scene that's, you know, in it. That's a beautiful, but that's such odd looking sand. It's because it's not.
That's gross.
It's my friend's murderous dad.
That's the other part I don't get. Somebody hanging on to somebody's murdersome ashes.
When it's like something like that, and it's like a horrible, horrible situation, you know, and the person did, it's like, and if they were alive, you would have already disowned them. Why the fuck would you want their ashes? I mean,
I'll pass them off on somebody else. I would say,
I don't know, I'm too easy to dismiss.
Go dump them someplace else.
I know. I guess, you know, I've not been in the situation of having a homicidal parent. And that's not, you know, people have been in those situations. I get it. That's scary and horrible. I don't know personally. Obviously it's probably one of those things you can't really answer until you've been in the situation, but I would be personally, I think if that were to ever happen, I mean, I just dismiss that individual as me having much care about them ever again, you know, if they were to do something horrible like that, you know?
Well, if I wasn't related, there's no way I'd hang on to somebody's ashes. I don't care what kind of friend they are. And maybe that's why I don't have friends, because I won't take anybody's ashes.
Yeah.
But that's just not going to happen.
I don't care. I mean, anybody that's like some murderous person, I don't care if they're related or not. It's like, nope.
Nope.
Sorry. You lost the any chance of me keeping your ashes. If that was on your to-do list, that needs to be gone now.
That's a new threat.
It's not going to happen.
When you die and are cremated, I'm getting rid of your ashes, just so you know.
Me?
No, I'm saying that should be the new threat.
Oh, okay.
When you are mad at somebody, you just tell them that you're going to dump their ashes.
I think people have done that. I've always threatened to bury my mom in the cemetery that she hates, or she hated, but now she loves it, and now she wants to be there. I'm talking about Ryanzi.
It's beautiful.
Well, it is. When I was a kid, you know, it was really kind of creepy and it wasn't being kept up very nice in like the late 80s. But now people have come in, there's management there. It's restored. And it's beautiful now. But there was a time where the gravestones were tipped over. There was crime. There was issues.
Sure.
And it was not in a good place. But it's gone the other way. Now it's very, very nice. But that was always kind of the joke. It was so spooky and, you know, kind of run down. It was like, oh, you don't want to, you know, be like, I'm going to bury you there. And you know, we threatened that back and forth at each other. And now we're both like, hey, put us there when we're dead. It's like, we want the chipmunks to come and pick the black walnuts and the hickory nuts that have seeped into our casket out. so they don't get caught in our ears or anything.
I'm going to do one of those burial egg things. Have you seen those?
Oh, where it like fertilizes the tree.
Yeah, you essentially mm-hmm. turn into a giant seed and a tree grows mm-hmm. above and it looks like a big egg. So yeah. My thing is if I am in one of those, I want somebody to stick the little like chick feet on it so it looks like I'm that little character from Garfield.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Garfield and Friends.
Yeah, where it's the egg walking mm-hmm. around with feet. That's what I'm going to do.
Can you pick your tree, the type of tree?
I don't know.
That you get? I mean, I would totally want to be a fruit tree. And then then people are like...
I figured you'd be a nut tree.
Well, that could be good, too. It's like, oh, this is such a delicious peach. Yeah. It's part of Tony.
That's gross.
Delicious. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi, Tony. This is, let's just say, Mesa, Arizona. Okay. So, a few weeks ago, well, maybe about a month or two ago, I'm in my condo with this guy that I'm seeing, and everything's going good between us. So, like, it was a weekend. It was, like, I think a Friday or Saturday. That's my dog, if you hear that growling. But anyways, it was a Friday or Saturday, and we had just got done doing, you know, the thing or whatever, doing the damn thing. Okay, so we're laying in bed, we're watching a movie, we're cuddling, everything's going good. I think it was Norbit or The Conjuring or something, I don't know. But anyways, we're like cuddling, having a good time, laying in bed, enjoying, you know, movie night, whatever. So all of a sudden, and both of us hear it at the same time, so... And I still get breathless when I talk about it. All of a sudden, in my hallway, mind you, my hallway is really close to my bedroom door, and the bedroom door is open. I have a dog, right? He's a puppy. He's like a little pup, a chihuahua or whatever. So all of a sudden, both of us hear footsteps, like a human. The puppy's in the room on the bed with us. We hear footsteps like a human running through the hall. I freak out, and I'm like, oh, my God, what the fuck was that? He's the F-bomb. I'm like, oh, my God, what was that? He's like, I don't know. So, like, he gets up and looks around, and I'm, like, behind him because I'm like, don't leave me in the room by myself. So there's nothing there. Like, we check the closets. We check and make sure that the front door is locked. We check and make sure all the windows are locked. It's some crazy shit. So, anyways, I don't know what that is, but before, when my little cousin had come over to my house, and she has, like, kind of, like, mental problems, like schizophrenia or whatever, she had said that I have a ghost in this house. My older sister died, but it wasn't in the house. It was at a hospital, but she lived here before I did, and I moved in to help, like, pay off the mortgage or whatever, right? So I don't know, but that definitely, she wouldn't scare me, but there's been other people that have been in the house that, like, feel different stuff, too. So I'm trying to get the hell out of here. But that was just the freakiest, creepiest thing yet that's happened. So I don't know. You guys tell me what you think. Bye.
You got a ghost. That's what I think. Pretty straightforward. Is it your sister? It's hard to know. It's not always the assumption to make, or it is a very common assumption to make that it's automatically the closest deceased relative that may be haunting you. But I don't think that is always the case by any stretch of the imagination. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. If you like our program, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra podcast person. Sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.